Welcome, music fans, to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show, where you'll get a sneak peek into stories and lives behind the authors, entertainers, and celebrities that you love to read about. Sit back, relax, and let Lisa and her guests entertain you. Now, here's your host, Lisa.
Good morning, listeners of Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. You are not going to believe that I am actually getting a late Christmas present here. I'm opening it here. It's a book from an author, Carolyn Grimes Wilkerson, who is actually Zuzu from Zuzu's Petals. And I have her on the line with us, and we're going to be talking about her book. Let's see if we can get her connected into the studio here real quick. Hi, Carolyn. Are you online with us?
I am.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I was just reopening a Christmas present my husband gave me. It's your book, and it's called Zuzu's Petals, A Dream of It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, it really is an absolutely beautiful book. You've won a couple awards for it, the Moonbeam Children's Book Award and a Royal Dragonfly Book Award, first place. Congratulations on that. And
thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your experience creating this. Is this your first children's book, by the way?
Yes. I have written a couple of cookbooks before that, but this is the first children's book.
So what made you decide to go into writing cookbooks?
It's a long story, but I lost my mother at a very early age. And she died when I was 14, and my father got killed when I was 15 in a car wreck. Yeah. So I was an orphan, and the court in Hollywood decided to ship me to a little town in Missouri. So the relatives came from all over out of the woods to my parents' house, my house, and they just walked in, and they said, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, because, you know, I was in kind of a cloud, a grief cloud. I didn't know what was kind of going on. And there was no one to protect my interests. So they just took everything that my parents had. And I just said, yes, you can have it. You can have it. There's only one thing I want. And that's my mother's recipe box. Well, the one I ended up with, the mean aunt said, you can't have it. I want it. So I never got my mother's recipe box. So for years and years, you know, I thought about it, but, you know, I didn't get it. So when she died, I called her daughter and I said, I want that box. And I know you have it now. And so she said, I'll send it to you. So she sent it to me, and I got all these recipes from my mother's recipe box. And it kind of inspired me to want to cook all these recipes again and feel that good down-home food feeling, you know. So I decided I'm going to share this with my fans. So I wrote a cookbook, and it was more of a personal cookbook about my life. And then I also included a lot of pertinent poop and pictures about It's a Wonderful Life. So it's a scoop book, plus it has some really good recipes. So that's the first one I got started with. And then there's another one that it's about It's a Wonderful Life. And we just thought it would be a lot of fun to share our recipes with the audiences that watch It's a Wonderful Life and also include a lot of scoop about that. So it was good enough that it sold for several years. We came out with it in 19... when the movie was the 50th anniversary, 1996. Mm-hmm. And so we just redid another one because the movie just became 75 years old. So
wow, that's
we brought another one out. And so we added a lot more scoop to it. It's about, you know, the cast members. It's about all the Frank Capra stories and just a lot of interesting scoop about It's a Wonderful Life. And then the recipes are all named funky, like Potter's crab cakes, you know, things like that. And then at the bottom of each page, there is a question, and then you turn the page over, and there's the answer. So there's a lot of trivia in it. It's really a great book. So,
I will definitely put that in the store. If I can get my hands on it, I will definitely put it on my shelf, because that is one of my number one requested things when people come in. You have to my bookstore is in the heart of Rochester, downtown, right across from the Mayo Clinic. So we have worldwide travelers that visit here. And many dignitaries, celebrities, everybody comes through here at some point, it seems. So I also get a lot of famous chefs. So I get people that come in looking for local or regional cookbooks, anything that's got something different. So definitely your book would do very well. I'll give it some nice magic spot placement. I say magic spot because there's always a couple spots in every area of my store that people just kind of gravitate to. I don't know if it's like they don't know what they're looking for and that just turns into that direction or what, but we just call it magic spots. But I didn't know that you had created those cookbooks, so that's a huge undertaking, and I'm so glad that that recipe box found its way back to you. And, you know, I know you had to request it, but what a magical, angelic way to get it back to you. You were meant to have that so you could keep on touching people with your work, and I encourage you to keep making more cookbooks. You sound like you've got a – I'd actually like to try some of those recipes. The crabby cake sounds really good. It's one of my favorite things to eat at a restaurant anyway. So,
oh, there's some really good recipes in there. And there's also recipes from other cast members, which, you know, that's kind of cool. I've got a recipe for Beulah Bondi's raspberry brownies.
Oh, well, that sounds
and
delicious.
They're really good. Yeah,
well,
I'm
actually I'm a food photographer, so I've been published in most of the major magazines and books, and also I do have a cookbook line for my publishing company. So it would be fun if you want, and I won't charge you. I would love to shoot some pictures if you do decide to do a new one. I'll even find the audience to taste the recipes. I probably won't make it as if you're onto that, you're welcome to use my services that way for free and just as a gift for what you've done for my life and touching me, because honestly that movie and now I have to put you on the spot. Can you legally say your famous line in the movie with the little
Daddy,
noise there in the background?
Says, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings an angel gets his wings.
Thank you so much, Karen, for saying that. You know, that was like the perfect close of the movie. You know, that you are a perpetual star in everybody's lives, and I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've watched that show since I've been probably, I don't even know what age I was when I started watching it, but I've watched it every year.
Well, you had some good parents. You had some good parents.
I did. And, you know, I remember actually, it's kind of a bittersweet memory, but the last year my sister was alive, the show was playing, and she goes, oh, I love that show, look. And just as she was pointing to the TV, you were saying that line. So it actually has extra meaning for me saying that today. And that was the last Christmas we shared. But she'll live on every time I hear bells ring. And it's a great show, and I hope I can't believe how many people have not seen that are growing up. So I always push that show on them. Seriously, if I had the DVDs or even some way to, you know, get them connected, evidently you can't get the TV shows as easily as what I thought you could in hotels. But the books, anything, like that's what I mean. Your book will sell really well in the store, but I want to get your book and your knowledge and your career into people's hands. It's a movie that has changed so many people's lives, and the cast was phenomenal, and
You know, how many times have you thought about what you've done through that acting? Because you were so young. How old were you? You'd already done 4 movies, I think, before you started that one. But how old were you when you started?
Six.
Okay. Yeah. And who can't love a six-year-old? I mean, they're just getting their sass, I always say. You know, they kind of get their little attitude at that age. And I remember one year we were at a restaurant, and this little girl was saying to her grandma, "I'm six." And I was just kind of laughing because the sass was already there. And she said, "Yes, we know." And my daughter, who was about 4, she goes, "Mommy, I would never be like her." So I thought that was pretty cute. But you have, tell us about your book, Zuzu's Petals, A Dream of It's a Wonderful Life. How did you get hooked up with Karen Deming, the illustrator? How did you guys meet?
I was doing a local show where I lived at the time. It was kind of an antique show, and it was on a farm, so it was outside, and she lived not too far from there, so she came to the sale they were having. And, of course, I was selling my products. You know, I have ornaments and all kinds of good stuff. You can check me out on zuzu.net. But I have all kinds of things. So she came and talked to me, and she said, "Oh, It's a Wonderful Life. It's my favorite movie." And the tears were running down her face, and she had her kids with her. And, you know, it was really a moment. And so she said, "I just love that movie," and blah, blah, blah. So she's an artist. So she called me back. I gave her my card, and she called me, and she said, "You know, I'd really like to see if we couldn't write a book together." And she said, "I could do the illustrations." And so we talked about it for a while and decided we'd go with the children's book because that would be a way that children could be exposed to the story. And it would be a good thing. So that's what we ended up doing. It took us about, I don't know, 2 years. But we got it done, and it's really, it's been a real joy.
Now, do you think you guys will work together on another story, or maybe you already are?
Well, unfortunately, I moved away, and so she lives in a totally different state, and so we can't really do that anymore. But I'm sorry I had to move, but I did. That's the way it is. I live at the bottom of Mount Shasta.
Wow, how beautiful.
In California. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
how fun is that?
I live in Seattle, and that's where we work together in Seattle. So that's about 10-hour drive away, and so I just didn't feel like, I don't really go up there anymore. And so I just kind of haven't pursued anything else right now because I'm getting older.
I have a feeling
God's kind of long in the tooth.
Well, that's okay. How old are you now? 29 again?
Yeah,
that's what we do in our
family.
We're
17 times. I'm 82. I'll be 83 this year. That's scary.
That's wonderful. My mom's that age, actually. She'll be 83 as well. And so I know what a special age that is, and how at that point in your life, how wonderful it must be. Pardon the reusing the wonderful life phrase, but you know, really, when I look at her life, or you know what you've gone through, how, when you make it to your 80s, how wonderful it must be to look back at all the things you have created and done over your lifetime, and how God can weave you into the weirdest situations and the best situations and sometimes the trying situation, right?
Yeah.
You know,
that's for sure. But that's where you get your experience. That's where the notches in your gun comes in, because it builds who you are. It starts the foundation of who you become, and that's what it's all about. In the end, you've learned so many lessons, and what I've learned is the most wonderful thing in the world is to be able to give to other people.
That's well said. I know what you mean. I have a guest book at my desk, and it really has just traveled with me everywhere I go, and I've had exhibits somewhere. coming back, you know, back and forth. So it's got quite a history and a lot of famous signatures in it. So I hope somebody doesn't come in and do something with it because it's a very precious thing. But what it's turned into is actually a prayer book because I have my husband when I'm not there, like today I'm not there, and he'll say, this is it. This is the store. This is where that lady prays for everybody. And I don't know how people know this, but somehow that's gotten out. And so they come in and they write prayers down in my guest book. Now, a couple pages back, I was looking at somebody had written in, I'm cancer-free, and they overwent the line. So on the next line, the person wrote in, I wish I owned a bookstore. And so what it actually ends up reading is cancer-free bookstore. And I just thought, you know, that's not an accident. And so oddly that everybody stopped using the page on the left and we're writing on the right side of the book. And I'm like, why did everybody leave like this huge chunk unfinished? And so now it's time to turn the page, but people didn't. They went back to the other side and filled it in. So it was like a double blessing almost for those people reading that. And it's still there if anybody ever wants to look at it. But yeah, it is a wonderful life. And I've got thousands of entries in that guest book that'll show people that are on their last breath, so to speak, that have walked in. I know I had a sisters with sepsis that came in, and they knew I was praying over her, and she actually wheeled her over and made her come meet me afterwards, which was pretty cool. And, you know, we all have these struggles and times, and I wish all of us could find illustrators and take that time to write our chapters out or a recipe book, which speaks volumes about your youth and growing up. I don't know how you feel about that, but do you have a favorite recipe in your book and a memory with it that you want to share?
Well, they all have memories for me. And It's a Wonderful Life cookbook, which is the one that's the newest book. I have a lot of memories over the years. I raised seven children. And so there were 20 years of my life that I cooked for 9 people. And that was a lot of, experiences. And I was always looking for something new that they would like. And 9 people have different tastes. So it's hard to cook something that everybody's going to like. So I really enjoyed learning about cooking, and her recipe box, you know, taught me a lot about cooking. It was during World War II that she had this box, and so there's a lot of recipes in there that are, shall we say, economical, because they didn't have any money, and so they cooked as economically as they could, which, you know, was a lot of short ribs and, you know, cheaper meats and so forth. And that was interesting. And it really comes in handy today, because the prices today are just skyrocketing. So the book has helped me a lot in shopping in this day and age.
I'll bet. I know. You know, I bet. What are your prices out there for, say, like a loaf of bread, like a regular loaf of bread, not some fancy kind?
Oh, we got $8.
Yeah. And milk, what are you getting?
Like $14. You know, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, do you have a plate? Do you have chickens, or do you have access to chickens where you can get your eggs for less money?
Heavens, no. No, I'm not the farmer kind. And we live in an area where you can't have those kinds of things because we have too many coyotes and mountain lions and things like that, and they'll eat the chickens.
Sure.
So we're having a lot of trouble with that. That's a bad thing. So we don't
I've heard that donkeys
like that
are good for that. Just get a donkey, a farm donkey that can travel from farm to farm. I've heard people from Tennessee tell me that they have donkeys that patrol their fields because for some reason they don't get attacked or something, but somehow they keep them away.
Interesting.
Well, they're so loud. Yeah, I know we were at a zoo once and this donkey walked up to me and just started calling out, and everybody's looking at me. I'm like, I didn't know it was my birthday. I think it was trying to sing me happy birthday. I don't know. I have no idea. But
So are you located in Rochester?
I am, Rochester,
are
Minnesota.
Are you located in... Oh, Rochester, Minnesota. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were in New York.
No, I know there's New York, Michigan, Wisconsin. I don't even know what other Rochesters there are. I'm born here. I'm a native here. And many times I've thought of moving away. I almost made it to Alaska once. At the last moment, I changed my mind. But I would have loved to have explored that. You'd probably never find me if I was in Alaska now anyway. I'd be pulled up in some cabin somewhere drawing or photographing nature or something. But, yeah, I stayed here. My family was here. And I just realized at a young age family was so important to me. And, you know, I had four siblings. And, you know, usually our grandparents were along. So it was, you know, usually 7 to 9 of us at every event. And when you have a family that big, you have a birthday or anniversary or something every week almost. And so when my husband met me, we added our families together and ended up with quite a family. And I just couldn't move away from that. I really enjoyed, you know, you build friendships. And we talk about moving all the time, but nah, I don't think so. Not unless God moves me.
Well, the reason I asked.
I don't think he moved you, though.
The reason I ask about it was because Rochester, New York is close to Seneca Falls, New York, where we have the It's a Wonderful Life Festival every year.
That would be so fun to go to.
Have you ever heard of the It's a Wonderful Life Festival?
I have. And how many people are actually left of the original cast? As of now, I guess I'd say.
There's three of the main cast members. We just lost two last year, young Violet Vick and Harry Bailey's wife. There are also the three youngest children. And then when Petey was born, the oldest boy, they showed the film with the baby in the playpen. And those babies were twins. Every time you shoot babies in movies, you have to have twins. So this set of twins, they played Petey. And so they come every year, which is really kind of interesting. And the baby that played Janie comes too. So it's kind of fun, that's for sure. But the festival is really a wonderful experience. And we have a 5K run, and there are so many activities and so many people that do presentations, and you learn so much about the film, but it's just the whole town comes alive. And we have Frank Capra's granddaughter comes every year, and he was a magical genius, I think, and as far as directing, and he was brilliant. So he put that movie together, and it was such a classic. I mean, it's been with us for years and years. And, of course, it wasn't a hit when it came out. But when the people finally discovered it, when it became public domain, they could see it on TV every night, they began to realize this is really a movie that we need to include in our lives. And I'm old enough to have seen in the early 70s when the people first started watching it on TV, their children watched it, and then they grew up, and then they have their children watch it, and each generation goes on, and it gets bigger and bigger because they all want to include that in their celebration of the season.
Oh, I cannot even imagine a Christmas without seeing it. And usually we watch the black and white version. At some point through the season, we'll end up watching the color one as well. I don't know. I really like the black and white one. I think it just represents that time period in a different way that I want to remember it, and too, I love black and white. I shoot a lot of black and white, but I don't know. There's just something you don't look at the color. This is just me. I don't fall into the color, and when it's in black and white, I listen more to the story, I think is what it is. But when there's all the flashing colors and everything, my eyes distracted to this or that or whatever. Maybe I got ADHD. I don't know, but the black and white, I just love it. It just seems like the prominent show. What do you feel on that? Do you watch both? Or
I love the color.
Do you have a preference?
I love the color.
Do you like the color?
The color is my favorite.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You see so much, so much more background and in the story itself, the sense of the story, you see so much more. And of course, that's the way I remember it.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. that makes sense. And like I said, to me it becomes, because I've seen the black and white first. Maybe if I had never seen the black and white, I wouldn't feel that way. But I do. I like see like the background, you know, like the soda area or even the tree or, you know, whatever scene it is. There's a scene, every scene is good. But, yeah, that's a great movie, and I'm so thankful, as well as everybody else, that you have taken that time and created this other book, Zuzu's Petals, A Dream of It's a Wonderful Life. And tell us a little bit. I mean, of course, I've got the book right in front of me, and oddly, when I open up, it's the third page here where there's a blackbird on his head, and you don't know this, but I have a starling that I rescued, and she's sitting right above me. She's my studio starling. So I'll send you a picture if you want. But she's sitting right here quietly. If she starts talking, I'm sorry, but she's usually pretty quiet during the show. So oddly, I've got the bird sitting right by your book here. But tell us, what made you write this book? Why did you want to write a book when you had already done the movie? And what can people take away from this book?
Well, it's a children's book, so it's a whole different venue. And I feel like children need to have It's a Wonderful Life on their level. And the story, it's not the story of the movie, but it's close. And it has some wonderful messages in it. And I think that young children can benefit from, you know, learning about having faith. And that's kind of what it's all about, is following Zuzu on her adventure to learn about having faith. And she falls asleep because her sister comes in and she says, "Daddy's in trouble and we need to pray for him." So I start praying for him, and of course I fall asleep. And that's how the story begins. When I fall asleep, everything is in cartoon. When in the dream sequence, everything is in cartoon. And so I'm traveling around and looking for my father, and in the process, I have a lot of lessons that I learn. So that's kind of what it's all about. And then, of course, I wake up and my daddy comes back, and it's all good.
It's a great story. And like I said, the illustrations make you and Karen Deming, the illustrator, somehow you had this synchronicity or whatever it was, you had that special time and charm that pulled the whole concept together, and I hope folks can find this. Can they get that book on any outlet? Is Amazon, I'm assuming, and I know we'll have it.
Yes, they can get it on Amazon. They can get it on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
And can we get the
and they can get
on
it on my
well?
Website at zuzu.net. They can get it there. They can get it just about anywhere.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me ask you, because I am always, I think I have maybe 50 or 60 angel interviews of people who have encountered angels. Do you have a favorite angel story in your own life, a personal visitation or message that you'd like to share?
Not really. A lot of things are pretty personal. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life.
I know, but
I've had a lot of tragedy, so, you know, there's a lot of things that were good and a lot of things that were not so much. So I just kind of like to keep that private.
I totally understand that and respect that. I just thought if you had, like, an overall message. Yeah, in the book, I've got a bookmark that you've created, and in it, it says, "Thanks for your order, and your purchase spreads the spirit of message from It's a Wonderful Life. Each man's life touches another, and we all make a difference, Carolyn." And then your website, zuzu.net. And, you know, that, as simple as that is, it touched my heart, and it continues to touch my heart. Every time I open the book, I left it in there. It reminds me of you, and how when I do hear that bell ringing, that there are angels near. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Believe you can summon your angels if you need them. I definitely believe that. So I just hope that children, you know, end up reading this book and can learn that there's hope when they're depressed and upset, and they can know that there's someone there always to take care of them. You just have to have faith.
It's a beautiful ending. We've been talking with Carolyn Grimes-Wilkerson, author of Ruby Petals, A Dream of It's a Wonderful Life, and the star of It's a Wonderful Life at Zuzu Daily. Check her out to the website at zuzu.net. That's zuzu.net. And Carolyn, I want to thank you for taking your time and being on my show today. I'll look forward to having you back, maybe cooking up something from your recipe book.
Cool. That'd be great.
well,
thank you for having
me.
We
will. Thank you, Carolyn. Have a great day.
All right.
You've been listening to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. If you're an author or entertainer and you'd like to be considered for an upcoming broadcast, log on to Lisa's Walk the Talk website at www.lisalc.com for more information. That's www.lisalc.com. Lisa will be back next week to continue this Walk the Talk journey.